If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, a jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that can save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
911.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I'm glad you're with me, and another beautiful, beautiful day here in Hawaii. I was kind of excited, still excited, actually, to be back here and share with you some new stuff that we've learned or been exposed to. Last week we talked radiation, and I'll touch on a few points about the things that we found on that. But I have something even hotter than radiation, folks. And I do want to acknowledge that this is 9/11, and those that is remembering that, and I say that I hope we never have it again, and my heart goes out to those that suffered here on this side of the lands, and those that are suffering still and from the three wars that we've seemed to have been generated from this act. While none of our government officials have explained to us why we were there and why were they mad at us and what have you, so just to be respectful of those that did pass, and maybe they were innocent, but again, today is 9/11, and hope we never have another. And I'm sure the folks on the other side of the water is asking the same thing. So we need level heads and level minds. And speaking of level-headed, I have a guest with me today, Mr. Attorney Michael Ostendorp, and we're going to be talking about a couple things, but one that might interest you. I don't know if you know that there has been somewhat of martial law declared by our governor, and I will use that term loosely today, governor, because the actions are the equivalent of a king or a dictator. While most of you know that he's been hiding the bone, so to speak, on the judicial appointees and not disclosing that, you'll be shocked, and I'll describe that, and if you're not, then my apologies for taking the liberty of you know, describing your emotions. But Mr. Abercrombie or dictator, whatever it is, and I think when you hear this, you'll be equally as disturbed and motivated to assign names that are not so pleasant or try to be more accurate rather than governor, because he's not governing anymore. He's dictating. And what he did on June 14th was to introduce a proclamation, an executive order. And this is what we're going to be talking about. And if you want to go and see this particular document, it wasn't made public till recently. I understand there's some organization was chasing him on this particular disclosure aspect of it, but he refused and finally succumbed to the threats and inserted it on his website, but not in the newspapers or open media. And the proclamation was by the authority vested in me as governor of the by the Constitution and laws of the state of Hawaii. In order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the people, I, Neil Abercrombie, governor of the state of Hawaii, hereby determine and designate and proclaim as follows. Whereas pursuant to Section 127.10 and Chapter 128 Hawaii Revised Statutes, emergency powers are conferred to the governor of the state of Hawaii to deal with disasters or emergencies, to maintain the strength, resources, and economic life of the community, and to protect the public health and safety. And I'll stop there. I won't read it all, but throughout the show we will. And Mike, thank you for joining me. And if you could, in lawyerese or lawyer language, legal language, what does this mean? And then if you could share with us, what's your take on this?
Yeah, good morning, Carol. Good morning to everybody. I'm just amazed that we had an emergency that on June 14th, the governor felt compelled to use his constitutional powers to declare this emergency, and he never told anyone. Mm-hmm. I did not know. What I find surprising is that we have been living in a state on an emergency since June 14th. Mm-hmm. This is September, and we haven't heard about it yet. Why wouldn't you tell the public there's a state of emergency relating to this proclamation and let them know? Mm-hmm. Why hide it?
Yeah. Well, what I didn't say, this is all centers around, or in theory, because now, remember, listeners, we're, as usual, trying to play catch-up. When the government takes an action, and I, if I get involved, you can assume one of a few things, that you haven't and I haven't been informed in the normal process of being transparent where government, honest government, should do that, unless it threatens the lives of people in an active effort, a case or something like that, that jeopardizes their life. You wouldn't want disclosure. But on the in the normal working schedule, you would think our government would inform us. So we're playing catch-up, and I'm going to take the liberty, and I'm not going to speak untruth or anything, but I will give myself a wide berth to speak on these things, because like the governor withheld it, then I think we have the right to explore. And it all comes from there's $100 million or more involved that has been acquired by Senator Daniel Inouye, and this is to remove munitions, unexploded ordnances and munitions or other military gadgets or materials or metals or what have you that poses a risk, to, in theory, to the environment and to the humans. But a great bit of this has been laying in place since World War II, and they dumped some. So what's happening here, the governor took this broad net and cast it over our rights and everything else so that he can do one of several things. Allow the people that are contracting and clean up the munitions to blow it in place. There lies one of the problems. But we're going to get into greater details. But there's $100 million, and he has stripped you and I of any right to know this, and he will then has assigned himself the right to seize your properties and everything else.
Well, he basically put in his proclamation that he finds that these state of affairs and circumstances are of such a grave nature as to affect the health, safety, and welfare of the public, that these circumstances require the invocation of provision of Chapter 128. Basically, that are only effective during a period of civil defense emergency. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'd like to reiterate, civil defense emergency. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the public have a right to know that we're living right now in a state of affairs mm-hmm. that is of such a grave nature to give him all the powers? Under this declaration, he can come and use your car. Mm-hmm. He can seize your property. Mm-hmm. He can do anything that he believes is necessary. He doesn't. There's no more due process. There is no more rights. This proclamation gave him the right, and it was approved by our Attorney General. For instance, in the back it says a lot of laws are now suspended. For instance, county organization administration laws, protection of caves, historic preservation, public access to coastal and inland recreational areas. What does that mean? The beach in Waikiki is now off limits? Why? Because we got APEC coming? Mm-hmm. I mean, just ask yourself the coincidence of this. Since June, he says we're living in a state of emergency. I don't hear anything about it on the news mm-hmm. or on the radio or in print. Mm-hmm. However, somehow now, they can go and take all of Ala Moana and close it down.
Yeah, and the, what's perplexing here is the simple fact that the governor, if it was June that he signed it, that meant it was, I'm going to assume that it took at least a month to determine and discover that there was an emergency. So if we go back to May, it obviously was on his plate in May or earlier. Why didn't we hear something about it? The danger here, folks, is that he stripped it up, and basically, here's what he said. I'll read it. Pursuant to sections 128.8-84, 128.9-8, and 128.10, Hawaii Revised Statutes, I hereby suspend the following statutes as allowed by federal law to the extent necessary to permit the United States Army Corps of Engineers to conduct removal actions under the DERP, and I'll explain what DERP means later on, in the course of conducting preliminary assessments, site inspections, and remedial investigations on the state of Hawaii, county of Hawaii, city and county of Honolulu lands as expeditiously as practicable. Public lands management, he's going to suspend any laws to deal with public lands management and disposition, forest reserves, water development zoning, conservation districts. He's going to do, he's done away with all laws pertaining to that, wildlife, state parks and recreation, aquatic resources, fishing rights and regulations. The governor has taken it upon himself that he now those laws does not apply because he has simply overruled those laws. Natural areas reserve, conservation and aquatic life, wildlife and land plants, general provisions relating to, and there is one in here, Mike, that really grabbed me, and I'm going, I won't say what I said, but rental, he's suspending the law that would govern rental or sale of essential commodities during a state disaster. Prohibition against price increases. So in other words, if there was a tsunami and someone had water or fuel or gas, they can do legally price gouge because the governor has stripped any protection of the people from that. Is that...
I see it as a prohibition against price increase, that mm-hmm. we don't increase the price.
Mm-hmm.
But that law has been suspended. You're right.
Right. So... you can't do it. That was what the law was for, right, in place to protect the public. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Also, he says that he is authorized to take possession, use, manage, control, and reallocate any public property, state or county, mm-hmm. real or personal. So he can sell whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He could sell me a forest reserve right now if he so wanted.
So if you and I wanted to develop whole Pili, the reality is out there in Ever Beach, we're all complaining about the rails going to take away the ag land. Based on this, the governor can, the stroke of a pen, make that declaration, and it's the development, correct?
If there's any public property out there, he can just sell it.
Yeah.
Which actually ties in with this House bill that they just passed, with this new commission.
That was Bill 155, sponsored or introduced by the infamous Donovan De La Cruz. It's a funny thing. The dictator has gathered himself. And those of you that are on the cabinet of this governor, I this is my message to you. You either knew of this and you're just so corrupt that you allowed him to develop this and you said nothing. And so he reached out and incorporated a lot of the native people. He courted them. And yet he's going to exempt himself and the Army Corps of Engineers from any laws that would protect caves, historical sites, preservation, historical preservation. So either you knew the cabinet members that would be, or he purposely selected you so he could take the teeth and the fangs out of the public's oversight by the activists that would have normally see these things and be offended. So either you knew it or you don't know it, and now you do know it and you should do something. We should see complete public outrage on the part of the cabinet level members to allow this governor to do this. And Donovan De La Cruz is the gentleman who, senator now, was city council, decided to be mayor, decided to be senator, wherever he was able to stick his head and get in, he did. And the funny thing is, his sister works for the governor, too, as a public relations. So if you go to the governor's website, you'll see there is his smiling face there, Donovan's. Somehow he's going to be rewarded for being someone's little carrier to make sure that this thing, this bill, and this bill was relating to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Hawaii Revised Statute. It was Public Land Development Corporation. That was what 155 did. The other question I have, Mike, is that where was our legislators in this entire process? They weren't consulted or they were consulted. But what happened? Why isn't there not public outrage on this practice?
Because one, I guess, is being kept in the dark from the other. I don't even know if the legislature knew about the mm-hmm. emergency proclamation. But if you look at the bigger picture, it somehow seems to be tied in mm-hmm. because the emergency proclamation gives the governor the power to just take public land and do with it whatever mm-hmm. he wants, any public facility.
Mm-hmm.
This new House bill gives some new commission or board that will be created the power to come in and take public land and create a revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take any public land, it seems. Mm-hmm. There seems to be, and they can go into a partnership with private business or qualified persons. It can be any individual, any business, anyone that somehow this board deems to be fit to generate revenue for the state from public land. For recreational areas, for instance, are specifically mentioned. So what does that now mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a private partnership with someone that guarantees me now that Alamoana Beach Park will generate revenue. I'm going to have someone get a dollar at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be like Hanauma Bay where, you know, you've got to pay to play.
Right.
I mean, why not, right? I mean, this is what this document, mm-hmm. this bill, specifically says. And if someone doesn't like it, well, the emergency power here, if it's a, if it's a city and county park, for instance,
right.
and the state can't get their hands on it normally, well, this does. This is how the governor gets his hands on it for the next 5 years.
And creating this bill, see, this is why I suspect the legislators, if not all, a great number of them knew about this, and because this bill serves only to complement the governor's grab here for power, and that is the governor designates something. He has a big developer that wishes to develop somewhere, and he goes and makes a declaration that the land is not any longer belonging to you.
Right, or optimized.
Yeah. And then in turn, but he needed an arm to turn around and take care of the matter to sell the land and handle those affairs. So Donovan de la Cruz introduced this bill, and all of the other legislators signed off on it. So what that tells me, as I say, I'm going to exercise my right to think here and think out aloud, because if the governor wished to conceal this from the public in the beginning, then we have the right to speculate. And I'm saying, and the conclusions that I'm drawing based on this, this bill was part of a conspiracy with this governor to strip and exempt himself from these laws, of the state laws. For example, state environmental policy, environmental impact statements. The governor now has exempted himself.
That's correct. It says that the corporation shall prepare the Hawaii Public Land Optimization Plan, which shall define and establish goals to public land optimization, basically to create revenue.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is all about. Again, that means they can go into business with whoever they wish. I mean, you can have Disney World number 4 coming in, or how, whatever number it is now, and you can use public land. You get into an agreement, and there goes our access.
Right.
And according to this emergency proclamation, all ocean recreation laws are suspended. air pollution is suspended, water pollution is suspended, aquatic resources, fishing rights and regulations. You don't get to go to the beach anymore. There is your public access. It's gone.
Caller, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, Carol, this seems like the perfect plan to be able to use to help incorporate around that whole rail system.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember that Neil Abercrombie was the first one that came out and said, you've got to do this. You've got to do it now so you can get the money now. Now this is a few years ago at this point, but he was the first one to come out of the gate and make the loudest noise about developing that rail system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know for sure, obviously, but boy, it's just really curious how the powers that you and your attorney there are talking about could just so fall in place for him.
And I mean, do you need all of these laws when the munitions, if that's what it is, have been laying there for years? And in great many of these areas where it relates to the state, the people are not allowed to go in these areas anyway. For example, and we'll talk one particular place. It really, really heightens my suspicion and allows me to say that. And here's the other side of this. He is doing this in partnership with the United States Army Corps of Engineers. First of all, and I'll make this declaration, and if you don't like it, all of you, I would say this is the sleaziest agency in the federal system, because remember, they're the ones who blew up the reservoir, the levees there in New Orleans. They've been reckless. And in this state, I can give you one example after the other. They don't do things openly, and they're not to be trusted. So I'm sorry. I just have to. But let me get the other caller here.
Carol, before you go, have you taken this to the news like you do sometimes?
This is just right hot off the press.
Wow, out of the oven, huh?
Right. There was someone else doing it. I don't know what happened.
Carol.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. Caller, comment, or question? Anyway,
well, back to the first caller. For instance, this act permits for project facilities, which includes improvements, roads and streets, utility and service corridors.
Mm-hmm.
Utility and service corridors, that's something that you do need for the rail system. It also gives them the power to condemn land.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say in this act if they have to follow the Sunshine Law, what is the definition of eminent domain. Another interesting thing, too, is they claim in here that if an area is being improved, that other people that own land around this improved, so-called improved area can now be assessed because it's to their benefit. So they're going to be assessed a fee,
mm-hmm.
which is being determined by the board. They specifically say it's not a new tax, but so what? Whoever is around in the surrounding areas is going to be assessed. Now, it says in here also that it is subject to the written consent. Now, that makes no sense. I got the power to assess. I got the power to exercise eminent domain, and I'm going to get your permission?
Right.
Well, that doesn't work that way. I mean, you can give me your permission for the price that I set.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it will work? There's some serious concerns when it comes to this bill.
This I've seen proclamations, and each governor or entity that has the power to do this, they make questionable calls. But I've not seen the orchestration of you have Bill the Suspicion, Bill 155, 1555, introduced by the Senate and passed by all the legislators, and then in turn, you have this declaration by the governor. Hand in glove. They fit together, apparently, and they're playing ball. But what does this mean, really, to some of you listening? What does this really mean environmentally? Let's just take that example. The Ahihikina'u Reserve is on the southwest corner of island of Maui. Very sensitive and fragile area. You know, there's six different communities that have found their natural communities, and two are rare. Ankalene Ponds. So if there is munition in place and they discover it, they can take it and wrap charges around it and blow it in place. Well, these are fragile areas. So if you, in turn, blow it in place, you, in turn, run the risk of damaging that pond, the walls, and allow seepage or changing the salinity or whatever, or just burying that particular unique environment. This is what it's about. People don't have a right to walk through there and tread it. So what is the emergency? Where is the emergency? There was never an emergency. The governor manufactured an emergency.
Isn't there going to be a hearing about some of that area?
A hearing?
September 15 in Maui about some old bombing target or something?
Right. They're gonna do a hearing in later, but we should have had a hearing on the proclamation and the proposal and the consideration of making a proclamation. 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call and participate or give us your opinion or your objections. I'm really interested in hearing where you stand. And today, God forbid, if they find a fireworks left over from last year, that would give – well, he doesn't need a cause to seize your property now because he suspended all the rules. So that's the danger of it. He needs no explanation.
That's right. And that goes right back to this Public Land Development Corporation that's going to be within the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And if they want to do something, for instance, if they want to develop a project facility or want to, you know, enhance revenue on public land, do they even have to ask the county now for an appropriate permit?
No.
According to this new bill, they don't.
Because he said he's ordering them. He has a right to order the,
to do
the counties to fall in line and click the boots and heels and march with me, as I say.
Right, because it does complement the bill for an act, the 1555. Are they, you know, this bill, are they exempt from the Sunshine Law? Are the board meetings open to the public?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, when it comes to the power of condemnation, do they have to comply with state condemnation laws, or can they just exercise their own version of eminent domain? You know, I mean,
whereas the Army Corps of Engineers presently has funds available for preliminary assessment, remedial investigation, and remedial action in the District of Hawaii on the DIRP, and whereas the level of funding available over the next 5 years for the District of Hawaii is estimated to exceed $100 million. So, again, it's all about the dollar. But if it was about the munitions and the risk that it posed and the threat that it posed to the public, this is an extreme measure. The governor just overreached his authority, in my opinion, and I don't know what the legal way of addressing this and holding him accountable and making him change that, because it really, it just gives carte blanche, open, wide berth to the Army Corps of Engineers. This document doesn't say with oversight or before the Army Corps of Engineers take a certain action, they must go before committee. So that's the frightening part of this process. And I do apologize. I just got this at the last minute in the last couple of days and was trying to do research and to try and bring this to your attention. And remember, I don't count with the dictator of Abercrombie. You know, I can't even get on his press release just sending an email. So I'm going to do the best. I'm winging it. So, you know, if I sound like I have a short fuse, then you can understand why we're talking munitions and we're talking about the governor who, talking about a short fuse. I can imagine him having to now address the public. If you think he cursed and scolded the nurses, I'd love to hear what he's going to say when the public ask him, do we have any rights now, Dictator Abercrombie?
Well, not according to this proclamation.
Mm-hmm. Now, follow this, Mike. Now, the thing is, it's about human welfare, okay? I find that these state of affairs and circumstances are of such a grave nature as to affect the health, safety, and welfare of the public, and that these circumstances require the invocation of provisions of Chapter 128, Hawaii Revised Statutes, that are effective only during a period of civil defense and emergency. So, we have people sleeping on the streets. We have people that are sick, ill, mentally ill, diseased, posing a health and safety risk to themselves and to others. Why wasn't he concerned, and why didn't he issue a proclamation to do that if we are truly concerned about the health and welfare of a community, as he so attempts to describe it?
Well, if he was concerned about the health and welfare of the community, wouldn't you have informed the public in June when you signed it, mm-hmm, that there's an emergency and please be aware? Just make sure you don't step
right
here or there. Just be aware of it. Have a notion that I just signed an emergency proclamation and that we are in such a grave state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
But not to even tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either he doesn't give a hoot, or maybe they just figured out how they can grab $100 million by just declaring it a state of emergency. I don't know which one it is. I mean, that's one possibility, too, that somehow Washington said, hey, anybody has an emergency according to these lines, just declare it, and we have $100 million coming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just money grabbing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I still find that to be pretty dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you don't just declare an emergency to grab some money. I mean, either you have one or you don't have one. If I were to go and tell FEMA I had an emergency and grab me some money, well, I'm going to jail. Right?
Well,
I mean, it's a politician, so we, you know, have a little, I don't know what we would call it. But it's, if it's just a money grab, I mean, I don't know. Is that why they're keeping it quiet?
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I think it's a money grab, and also I think there's other sinister things lying in the works. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, a comment. I agree with the implications of what he's done, but let's pretend that he doesn't. That he really does think that this is a terrible emergency. That really should condemn what the military is doing and has done to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And it also should tell the tourists it's a pretty dangerous place to come because we have to declare a state of emergency because of the damage, environmental damage and risks to this island.
And the danger of walking and looking at the monk seal, and while you step, you think, oh, that's boom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a mixed bag of lies.
Yeah, so in effect, I mean, what he's really is saying,
you sound
even though
like
he doesn't believe it, is that the military has done horrible things to us. And I agree, but still, I don't think he really means that, but that's the message.
Well, it's the message, but I'll give in on the maybe he found that it was important to do this. I don't know all the background, but what I do know is that it's more explosive to hide it from the public.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's going to blow up in his face, I suspect.
Well, maybe literally.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, okay, thank you. Bye.
I look at it from this perspective. It's a lawyer's dream.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he signs an emergency declaration, proclamation, mm-hmm. doesn't tell anyone about it, and someone now, let's say, does step on something and does get injured. Mm-hmm. Well, the state obviously knew about it. Mm-hmm. The governor signed a proclamation, so why didn't he warn anybody?
I don't know.
You know, because I believe it goes hand in hand with the House Bill 1555.
Yeah.
There is a Section 19 in there. It says exemption from requirements. So this new bureaucracy shall be exempt from all statutes, ordinances, charter provisions, and rules of any government agency relating to special improvement district assessments or requirements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but this thing just opens the doors. There's no land use, zoning, construction standards for subdivisions, development, and improvement of land, and the construction, improvement, and sale of homes thereon. I mean, there's no more oversight.
Yeah. And to hide it,
There's no environmental impact statements necessary.
Mm-hmm.
They can transfer public lands as much as they want to. It's a humongous land grab
of
public land.
The magician Houdini. I'm going to start calling this guy Whodunit because you just I can't believe. Here's another section. Whereas pursuant to Section 128.10.5, Hawaii Revised Statutes, the governor is further authorized to order and direct government agencies, officers, and employees, state or local, to take such actions and employ such measures for law enforcement, medical, health, firefighting, traffic control, warnings and signals, engineering, rescue, construction, emergency housing, and other welfare, hospitalization, transportation, water supply, public information, training, and other civil defense and emergency functions as may be necessary, and utilize the services, material, and facilities of the agencies and offices.
Well,
wow.
Certainly comes in handy for upcoming APEC. All you have to do is just close down sections of the state.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's travel in style. I mean, Nimitz is closed.
Yeah. And the disruption. Now, some will probably argue, but you see, this isn't the first time they've handled explosives.
No, they know where that stuff is.
They know where it is. And secondly, how are you going to go and ask for money without having to show some proof that you have it, first of all? So they know what they have. Now, they may not know the exact location of all of them, and one might be stacked on the other, and you see one extent exposed. But here's the problem. In normal circumstances, an agency would go through the permitting process, and I'll submit that this emergency process can be long and drawn out. and cumbersome. So what I suspect is that they could have done is put together boards and committees to expedite this rather than taking these extreme measures, and then assign people like Mufi Hanneman did with the rail. Mufi Hanneman gutted the Department of Planning and Permitting and assigned all of the inspectors and went and borrowed from Peter the Pay Paul, and borrowed staff here and there, had some to retire and then jump back on board. It could have been that action rather than, not to say that Hanneman's actions were legal or, you know, honest, but at least rather than taking these extreme measures or being able to seize my house. I can imagine now waking up in the morning and there's a knock at the door or a kick at the door and say, okay, we need your house to direct traffic downtown for APEC or to house police officers. I'm being ridiculous, it sounds, but this is what this document allows the governor to do.
In a way, yes, and in a way, you know, it's basically you're talking about a preliminary assessment, mm-hmm. and remedial investigation. But while they're doing the preliminary assessment, they want to reserve the right to just go ahead and just blow things up or do whatever they want to do because they think it's an imminent threat. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to public land, public properties, he can use them at his discretion. That's mm-hmm. according to this proclamation. The House bill gives them the right to condemn.
Right.
So one complements the other one, but the proclamation itself does not give them yet my car or my house.
No.
But the House bill does.
But this bill, it's a companion. I won't call it a companion bill because it's to the proclamation, but it supports. It did what the proclamation couldn't do, to be more specific, you see. And
right.
That's why I take the liberty, and that's why I like it. When my government hides from me, I'm able to say anything, right, wrong, or indifferent. I don't care because when they lie to us or fail to disclose things, I think we have the right to reach out and try to extract the truth. And if we make a false statement, challenge them to correct us. Then we'll have a dialogue.
Because, you know, when they're doing the assessment and they're looking at ammunition sites, obviously they know where to look. I mean, they already know in the proclamation there's 128,000 acres out there, and 37,000 of those are owned by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an idea where to go and look.
Right.
I cannot imagine how you're going to come up on some old ammunition, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there's this immediate threat. We're going to have to dispose of it right now, right here, and right there.
Right.
I mean, it just defies logic.
Well, you want to talk about logic. I guess that has escaped most of the people here. But follow this. We had that discovery of mustard gas, munitions, dumped right off the coast of Waianae.
Right.
We have people there fishing, pie nets. We have divers. We have snorkelers. We have scuba divers. We have people going by and taking sail trips. Mustard gas, nerve gas, or whatever the components were, very deadly. Right?
Right.
Where was this guy at when making that declaration? Why didn't he chase and hurry to Linda Lingle's office and say, Governor, I think for the safety and health and welfare of the community and the environment, we should make this proclamation because it's an emergency. Why didn't we see that? Instead, there was this long and protracted drawing out of meetings and back and forth, and the military coming and make a presentation. And I think later they downplayed it.
When you say the guy, you mean Abercrombie, or you mean the former harbor master?
Oh, he's no longer the former harbor master now. He's the director of DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, William Eiler. So I really would like to know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say he didn't know. But I would like to know what now.
What do you mean he didn't know? He didn't read the newspaper? Didn't watch the news? We all have been knowing about.
Well, I mean about this proclamation.
Oh, about the proclamation. Yeah, but, you know, that kind of defies logic again because the Public Land Development Corporation is going to be part of his department, Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Right.
They're going to appoint one board member.
Well,
and then.
But maybe the way it was so secret that maybe they were going to call him up when everything was in place and say, Chairman Isla, you now are the new father, proud father of the Public Land Development Corporation.
Well, you know, you and I, we looked at Wamanalo landfill once before.
Right.
And I got to tell you, they don't have a problem anymore. With this new Public Land Development Corporation, I can take any public land and make a determination that this now will be the best revenue-producing stream, and I just take that and turn it into another landfill.
Right. We can move it on up to Miley and say, make that, hey, governor can make that declaration.
Right, because you can, under this, you can do another landfill.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the power.
Yeah. And so there's health and safety concerns and air concerns. How about Gary Gill?
But there's no investigation anymore. There's no environmental.
Right.
You just declare this is the best use.
So it's starting to play out how he would take remnants, employees, and this is not disrespect to Ms. Fuddy and others, but it seems kind of strange. And look at the direct parallels where in place Hanneman left an administration. And we had Carlisle to come and leave them in place and rehire some of the old cronies of Hanneman who were already entrenched, moving the ball forward on the rail, right? Then you take Abercrombie, then came along and kept a lot of the older people or elevated some of the people, I think from Olelo, one went to DCCA and what have you, and all these things raises some concerns.
Serious concerns. This is a carte blanche. I like to have this one.
Yeah.
Or if I get to own everything.
So legally, when someone, how does one challenge this? I mean, it's a declaration. It's a proclamation made by the governor, which he has that right to. Is there any recourse? What do you do?
I think the legislature would have some recourse.
Yeah, but they signed.
This is the same legislature that signed this House bill.
Yeah. Wow. So that's what I've argued here a long time ago and in all times ago is that this is why we need a check and balance. And the other side of the aisle, the Republicans, for example, I'm wondering if they knew anything about this because if I saw this and I was any party, I'd be screaming this bill, Public Land Act.
Right.
And I wonder, I'd like to hear from Charles DeJoux and all the other potential candidates and Gene Ward out there. I'm going to be on the next hour if you know how to get in touch with them. I'd like to ask them, did they know about this proclamation? What are their concerns? Or if there's other people out there, I want to hear from you. Maybe it's not of importance, but it's how we arrive. Maybe it's the perfect solution, but it's how we arrived at this point, the secrecy behind it. So, you know, here's the other thing. David Louie signed off on this.
Yeah.
Now, is the Attorney General supposed to be looking out for striking a balance, or is he just whatever the governor wants he give? Is that I don't know.
All I know is if there's such an emergency, why don't you talk to your people?
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And if it's not an emergency, well, then it's just a money grab.
Yeah.
Either or, it's dishonest. It's not serving the public.
So it should I be, if it's a money grab, do you think that anybody is threatened by this, or should they be worried, or just figure this is the way he was getting money quick and did this and he'll never act on it?
Well,
I know that's not a fair question.
I mean,
how would you answer?
You know, the thing is, we like to have trust in our elected people, in our governor. If this is just a money grab,
I didn't hear any declaration of martial law. But is this the equivalent or a borderline? Is it creeping in the halls of in the arena? A closeness of martial law? Does it smell, smacks?
Well, it smells like it, but it's not martial law. But it deals with public lands. It suspends all kinds of other laws that we have in place to protect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we don't need them anymore.
Yeah. I equate this action, allowing them to blow munitions in place and threatening the environmental concerns that you're trying to protect. It's like you have one sick tree in this forest, and so to cure this sick tree is to cut down all the other trees so the disease won't spread, and then you can nurse the sick tree back. It's the same thing. You walk in, you go, okay, there's unexploded ordinances to protect the public.
Yeah.
Who come here to look at this and this fragile environment and appreciate it. We're going to blow the munitions in place and then destroy a portion of it.
For instance, your example about the mustard gas out of Weiner's site, instead of going in now and using divers or using someone to carefully handpick everything,
yeah,
you just go in and strip mine the whole coral heads. Just take
right.
it all.
Because you don't have to make an assessment anymore. And that, I'm going to take the liberty and say that I believe this was part of that because it's munitions. I mean, it didn't declare, and then it got into the waters, right? It talks about exempting from aquatic resources.
Yeah, according to this here, you don't even have to worry. Just drive that caterpillar right to it.
Yeah.
Just bulldoze it right in.
So if Governor Abercrombie was a chef, he would only need one knife. Yeah, the only one utensil, because all he's going to do is cut and, you know, he's not going to carefully try to appease anybody or approach things in a delicate fashion where they're still, while protecting the people, and... Hey, they may know things that we don't know and needs to be immediately taken care of.
Well, but if the Department of Defense wants to go out and restore a site, why not just take a look at it and then come back and say, you know, for this particular site, we need some emergency power.
Right.
We can't do it. It is dangerous on a case-by-case basis. But here... They got 5 years to do anything they want. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, until 2016, June 30th, 2016. They can do whatever they want for the next 5 years. There's no oversight. There's no liability. Just do whatever. You know, there goes Makaha Valley. I mean,
right?
Just bulldoze that whole place.
Yeah, to go get one unexploded ordnance.
Yeah.
Just bulldoze it.
You don't even have to be walking anymore.
Right.
Just bulldoze a new road.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
And there's nobody can take an action. Or they can take an action, but probably fall on deaf ears. I wonder what the courts can. Can a governor make a declaration, an executive order, where it exempts and the Supreme Court would not hear it? Or is there challenges to?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, where's the Sierra Club when you need them?
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can go to court and see if you can challenge it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll come back here shortly, and my guest is Michael Ostendorf. We're talking about Governor Neil Abercrombie's proclamation regarding munitions and the United States Army Corps of Engineers, and something you might want to see. You can go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and up on the front page you have a link to this, or you can go to the governor's website and see, look on the newsroom, and you'll find the proclamations or the governor's notes.
Like dominoes, falling like dominoes.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half, and we're sitting here talking about some very interesting matters. I'm with attorney Michael Ostendorp, who's my guest, and we're discussing Governor Neil Abercrombie's declaration or executive order that he signed on June 16th, and regarding getting rid of explosives and getting over more than $100 million, June 14th, I'm sorry. So just to get back on track, and we're going to talk about this. Now, here's an interesting one for you, the listeners out there. 524-1080 if you're interested in comment or share your concerns or insight. Now, there is the United States Army Corps of Engineers, as the Department of Defense executing agent for the Defense Environmental Restoration Program, that's DIRT, formerly used defense sites, announces a public information meeting for the former Maui bombing target at Kanahina Point. The project site is located on the leeward coast of Maui within the Ahihi Kina'u Natural Area Reserve. The public meeting will be held Thursday, September 15th, 6:30, 8:30 p.m. at the Kihei Elementary School, 250 Lipoa Street, Kihei, Island of Maui. the Army Corps of Engineers and its contractors conducting the remedial investigation feasibility study will present an overview of the proposed work and address any questions the public may have regarding the project. Why bother when the governor has signed a proclamation exempting from all laws, environmental and what have you? So now keep that in mind, that meeting there, and it's it goes on, but September 15th, 6:30 to 8:30. Now, I'm also in receipt of an email that this is on the 15th, that on the 17th there's going to be a Lahaina listening session scheduled at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at 871 Lahaina Luna Road in Lahaina, Hawaii, or Maui. Kahalu'u listening session at 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. the Maui Waena Intermediate School Cafeteria at 795 Onehe'e Street in Kahului, Hawaii, Maui. DLNR administration team, including Chairperson William Isla Jr., First Deputy Guy H. Kalukukui, and Water Deputy Bill M. Tam from Honolulu is visiting Maui to hear community comments, questions, and concerns regarding topics under the department's jurisdiction. This meeting is hosted by Senate President Sean Sutsui as part of a series of DLNR listening sessions to be conducted statewide. If you are unable to attend. Anyway, so why would the chairperson and his deputies go after the fact if they want to hear and give people good time and sufficient time? I don't know if it would be sufficient, but be there to answer specific questions and make the declarations that all laws have been thrown out of the window. There are no laws, and you might have concerns, but this executive summary or executive order that the governor signed on June 14th nullifies that or vacate any responsibility on the part of the DLNR chairman, because the governor has a right to overrule everything. So anyway, Mike, again, we're back on air, and let's see what we can do with this. And you were going to talk about the development.
Actually, I kept calling it a House bill. It was a Senate bill, 1555, mm-hmm. regarding the Public Land Development Corporation, which seems to be a brand new bureaucracy. It's going to be governed by a board.
Mm-hmm.
One board member is appointed by the Speaker of the House. One is appointed by the Speaker of the Senate. Then one is designated by the director of the economic department, I believe,
mm-hmm.
one by the Department of Finance, and one by Department of Land and Natural Resources. But this new agency, which will be able to hire three people, an executive director, and one expert supposedly on public land, I'm going to take a look in the back, they even have titles, a planner, and a project development specialist, and some will be appropriated. But again, they will be able to transfer public land from under its jurisdiction to the corporation to do whatever is necessary to create revenues from the public lands. Basically, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever they want to do, once again, they're exempt. They're exempt from statutes, ordinances, charter provisions, and rules of any government agency relating to special improvement of district assessments or requirements. So land use, zoning, construction, to everything that we have in place,
mm-hmm.
this board does not have to follow. And what's disturbing is in the construction, improvement, and sale of homes thereon. Well, to me, the definition of a home is not something that the public will be using. A home is my home.
Right.
It's someone's home.
Private domicile.
Yeah, private domicile. How do we get all of a sudden, when we're trying to create revenues from the use of public land? I mean, if it's public land, it's supposed to be for the public. Now, they have the right to go in with a partner or any venture capitalist, whoever it is, and all of a sudden we're talking about construction, improvement, and sale of homes?
Mm-hmm.
What, are we going into the development business? We're going to give Horton some competition?
Right.
I mean, what exactly are they planning? I know the way it's written, you know, on its face, it doesn't seem that dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a lot of authority that's given to one brand new agency whose cousins we haven't determined yet.
Right. Who has their arms up the back of Donovan De La Cruz and the rest of the legislators? You know, who's pushing this? Obviously, they don't just invent and create and write laws and introduce and pass bills.
No, there's some intent somewhere.
Somewhere. And I didn't hear a debate openly about this. Now, some might argue, well, we did debate it, but they've set it on our doorstep, and then we were to then discuss it.
No, when it says end to construction, comma, improvement, comma, and sales of homes thereon.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you now, in the same paragraph on the exception from requirements, they're exempt from the housing code. They don't. They can build whatever they want. There's mm-hmm. no code anymore applicable.
Mm-hmm. And
who's coming in, right? I mean, who's behind this?
And I say, while I can't say that they one relates to the other, remember, in the number 7 item, chapter 183, this is what the governor suspended: forest reserves, water development, zoning. How about that?
Yeah.
Zoning. So, I mean, to get to blow up a bomb in place or some old munitions in place, you needed to write in
State parks and recreation areas? I mean, haven't we made sure that our state parks and recreation areas don't contain ammunition dumps?
Yeah. Now, I suspect that the public would have had a different approach and probably had a greater involvement and role in this if they, in this bill, Senate Bill 1555, if they'd have known that this executive order was being considered. And when was it passed? It was, I didn't print the entire thing off, but anyway, it's whenever it was passed, here's the question. Did they know about this executive order? And I'm sure with all the problems and the struggles and that Mr. Abercrombie has in heading this canoe that he's been rowing, you know, what I suspect is that, and I'll equate it to this, while he had us thinking that he was steering and at the helm of this so-called canoe, what he was really doing was operating a submarine, high-tech submarine, undercover, out of view, and this is the results of this.
For instance, if you look at the powers, it says that this new bureaucracy, whatever you want to call it, has the right to contract for and accept gifts or grants in any form from any public agency or from any other source.
Mm-hmm.
Since they are exempted under Section 19 from all statutes and rules of any government agency,
mm-hmm.
so the ethics code doesn't apply to them anymore, so now they can accept any gift in any form from any source.
Remember that bill that they were debating in Galatera that talked about gifts?
Yeah.
And they balked it and then they removed it. See, I believe all of this ties in with these guys putting in place, it's a money grab, not just from the munitions, 100 million plus from the munitions removal, but also the grabbing of lands, getting in the... So you take 100 million for the munitions. Then you take the rail, $5 billion. These guys are motivated. And it sounds like I better watch myself, man. Wow. You know, you don't mess with the man's money, you know. You can steal his bicycle, you know, but don't touch the man's money.
Well, to be real sinister, look at it this way. You identify an ammunition site.
Yeah.
You go in and you grade it. Yeah. Right? You create the whole subdivision, mm-hmm. and then you use it for public land, and you construct and build homes on it. So you use the $100 million from the federal government, create yourself a new subdivision, right. and then you have the new agency go out and go in. But there can be a single enterprise. Mm-hmm. It can be a partnership. It doesn't matter. Anyone, and just go ahead and start building houses. Homes. Homes now.
Or what if I was a developer and our businessman, and I wanted to put a commissary or some kind of small grocery store and restaurant near the Maui Ankeline Ponds because a lot of people are attracted there.
Mm-hmm.
Grade it, bomb it, blow it up, clear the munitions, grade it, and then get the governor to allow me to put in a concession right there. Restaurants, hotel. Because that's where people go. They don't want to drive all the way back to town. So if the Gov do me a little favor and I can slide some money. And by the way, Gov, I'm going to give you this condominium or Sutsui or whoever it is for this bill that you – because it says you can take any gifts legally.
Well, according to this new bill, you know, I would hate to be the one that's right next to a nature preserve.
Yeah.
Because they might just decide to exercise eminent domain and take it.
Yeah. It's something amiss here. But
this is a new eminent domain. It's not defined. This is not the old one where we're talking about fair market value.
Right.
And if you don't like the price they offer, remember now, they have the right to come in. Since you're benefiting from any improvement or whatever they want to do,
right.
you are benefiting. Therefore, you can be now assessed a fee.
Yeah, if I'm using
which they determine.
If I'm using that road that was built by the state to drive to my house, I'm more inclined to be quiet and take no issue. Because if I raise my voice, they're going to tax me. They're going to give me a fee.
Well, according to this new bill, they can do anything they want.
Air pollution control. I was kind of puzzled with that non-point source pollution management and control. If you're blowing up munitions, I don't know how much. If you got a 500-pound bomb, and I don't know if they use those sizes in that area, but let's just say they did fine. They're going to the mustard gas, so they're not going to try to remove it. Just boom, introduce it into the atmosphere. Well, the winds were blowing off island, so it's not a problem. I just can't believe that anyone would have allowed arrive at this point where you can exempt yourself from this. But Senate Bill 1555 is really. It's troubling, and I see the things like seed capital. They went off. I don't understand what was happening. The chairperson of the Board of Land and Natural Resources, or the first deputy to the chairperson of the Board of Land and Natural Resources, the director of finance and the director's designee. This is the people that's going to make up this board, as you pointed out. So why do we need, if there's a private developer, why aren't we being the government and making sure that they adhere to the rules, the state rules? But if you've lifted them, you basically paved a way for them to just walk in and develop anywhere. So that means that development over at near Costco that is proposed, Ho'opili can be put in. And isn't there a couple of other proposals like at Laie? Keep the country. I think if they knew about this, they would be concerned and alarmed, and I'm hoping that some of you are listening out there and at least raise a question. And again, I don't know if it'll ever happen, and not that I'm going to cry over it if it doesn't take place, but I'd like to I'm inviting the governor to come on the show and talk about this and other things. So.
Well, what's concerning is you're talking about project facilities, and that's seems to be the biggest item, including improvements, roads and streets, utilities, sanitary and sewage systems, and other community facilities where applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, That sounds real good, because we're talking about community facilities, so we're going to have another restroom somewhere, hopefully on public land or something to improve the usage of the public land. But then they're also talking about building homes.
Right.
So one does not jive with the other. And that's what makes it scary, because there's no transparency. Is this subject to the Sunshine Law?
Now, we know that, and while I got you, ask you, we know that state law can't supersede federal law. It could make it stronger, and action can be stronger, but it can't weaken or lessen. So when it comes to marine mammals, as they talk about wildlife, an endangered species, do they still have to adhere to the Endangered Species or the Marine Mammal Act as it relates in blowing something in place, or is that exempt too?
Well, the proclamation says that he suspends the following statutes as allowed by federal law. So he still subjects himself to federal law.
Right.
And we just hope for the best that the feds will not be blowing up stuff when there's a monk seal sitting there.
And this is a federal agency. See, I raised it. I saw it in the proclamation. So it's like, on one hand, he's just going, working right on the boundaries of the law. And he knows that the Endangered Species Act, they will still have to take precautions or measures unless the National Marine Fisheries Service or the United States Fish and Wildlife Service gives a Section 6 or Section 7, whatever the endangered exemptions are, you know, they can give an exemption or a take or an incidental take. But how many will we tolerate? Will the public tolerate? You know, if there's nay-nays nesting, well, we got to get that munitions out of there, man, right now. Got to get it. Do you say, okay, fire up the bulldozer and let it roll?
Well, you just hope that the feds use more common sense.
Yeah, but the problem is, even if they were to wait, here's what I saw the trouble with this proclamation, and that is you might wait until the nene nests and fledges, but then you bulldoze the habitat, and then there is no more nenes in the area. So, you know, so this guy, I mean, I don't believe there was a lot of thinking in going on. I think they saw the money, as you say. And they figured, well, let's just patch up every little puka, any opposition. Well, first of all, we won't tell them about it.
That's my biggest concern.
That's the transparency and lack thereof of a sharing and openness with the people. And then you move forward and you lay out all of this. And imagine me trying to wade through this. I don't have the legal mind to sort through all. I might be right on one point and I'll be fall flat on my face on the next.
Well, we do the same as lawyers. Don't worry, there's no such thing as a legal mind.
Well, you haven't seen my mind. But I'm just thinking about the Hihi area. There's, for example, the cultural resources, there's Inkling Ponds, coral reefs, coastal marine habitats, cultural landscape, lava flow formations, and have early lava flow, you know, maybe 200 to 500 year lava flows, native leeward shrubland and forest and wilderness qualities. This is what they talk about, a global significance, this Inkling Pond.
Okay.
And
I wish I would know where it was.
And in a national significance, and the coral reefs of national significance. All of them are of state significance, and he decides to say, well, I'm going to strip the protection because I'm the governor, and I'm going to make it easy for the Army Corps of Engineer and what have you. And I guess and the Tennessee Valley Authority could probably teach the Army Corps of Engineers something about the snail daughter and you know, and what have you. But if the governor is standing up and walking hand in hand with the developer and the Army Corps of Engineer, then there really is no protection.
Nope.
So I don't know what's next, but I'll be following this up, and I'm going to send a letter. It'll probably be an act of futility. I probably will not get any response from the governor or Ms. Donald and De La Cruz or the other elitists over there. But we're going to try. And, again, some of my comments and statements are I'm very liberal with them because, one, they didn't tell us about it. Two, I had to find out in an indirect way, and it was published, by the way, on the governor's website. Why wouldn't you think he would have notified? That's newsworthy. Yeah. I can't imagine a governor who is floundering or just lost in the doldrums right now with his popularity and have had some bad wouldn't you be excited to come to the public and tell them, hey, guys, there's a bright future here. With the rail, that $5 billion in jobs, now we got hundreds of millions of dollars coming in for munitions. And I've signed a declaration, a proclamation, an executive order to make sure that that money flows.
He's using the emergency powers that he has under our laws that deal with disasters or emergency.
Yeah.
So if this is a disaster or an emergency, why did you not tell the public?
Wow.
It's that simple. And, you know, I understand some people might have concerns that the tourists won't come.
Right.
What? They don't have no rights?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what? I mean, if you cannot serve, there is an emergency, why did you not tell the public? Why hide it since June?
Yeah.
Well, or whenever they became aware of it.
I'm hoping that we know that it is not a disaster, but he took the liberty to act as it was. I'm hoping that it has disastrous results for him politically and for the legislators. I don't know who we're going to try and vote for, but I can tell you one thing. I don't tell people who to vote for, but I can tell you who I'm not voting for in the future. This whole Klan got to go. I mean, when you advance some laws such as this and Senate Bill 1555, you're no longer, you can smile at the environmentalists and you can talk and hire the native people and bring them into your camp. But I think it was more purposely done for the purpose of defanging or taking out any opposition, bringing them into the camp. Now you're obligated. Either the people inside the administration now are either going to stand up and object, or they're going to go along and get along.
Well, it's the same like with the list of judicial nominees.
Oh.
Right? Someone believes they're above and beyond, and this just goes right hand in hand with it.
Wow.
I just wonder how many more proclamations are out there. This is just one we know of.
Right. I wonder how many of those candidates or judges or applicants or nominees actually participate in writing this up.
I don't know what.
Well, I mean, somebody had to write it. I mean, this is extensive. That's substantial.
I suppose as Attorney General David Louis, who signed off, he approved it.
But, I mean, you know, even a drunk could go, I've had 9 drinks. You think, what do you think? You think if I got in my car, you think I can make it home? Even a drunk could debates whether he has a chance of making it or not, right?
Right.
Or a gambler. This governor didn't just introduce and sign this executive order. But because there's the other player is Senator Daniel Inouye, who acquired the money.
Right. I take your word for it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, could have been.
Well, he was involved in getting the money. So.
Okay.
And if he wasn't, then I'd like to hear from him to say, well, this is nonsense and we're going to do away with that. I'm going to call up Neil right now and tell him that's just wrong. You know, he's not my kind of guy. Because, as he said about Obama. So I think if he didn't get the money, then he should be annoyed by the fact that we have Senate Bill 155 and then we have this executive order. So either way, he should have some involvement. And I'd like to ask him to rescind this executive order immediately.
And it seems also that the United States Department of Defense has declared that it is committed to protecting human health by cleaning up dangerous munitions and explosives and other contamination at these former military properties.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anything about state land.
Right.
So, again, the proclamation talks about one thing in one paragraph and then mentions 37,000 acres of state land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well, what happened? And this drives home this point. When
maybe
military
it's the water.
Well, military lands are formerly FUDs, formerly used defense sites, can be acquired by the state. You take Barbara's Point, for example, some of those areas. So they bomb the heck out of it. And so instead of cleaning it up, you get some go-along lackey in government, state government, to say, oh, that'll be great. I'll take that, and I'll sign off on it. So that allows the government to slide on out the back door, leave the bombs in place, the munitions in place. This guy or gal or lady has signed off on it. And then in turn, 3 years from now, you see that person named as the head of or deputy director of some national government agency for having accepted that land that formerly Bellows, for example. Some parts of that was used. And so the FUD site can be given, and you take Barbara's point, some of it is state lands now, but they didn't clean up everything. You take the Voice of America out there at Waianae.
Well, the water's part of it, too.
Right. But they did that, you see. And that's the danger of signing off on it and letting them walk away.
Another thing, too, that we don't know, because there's no transparency, is the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers now exempt? Do they have to follow any laws? I mean, we assume that the feds are going to do the proper thing.
Right.
But maybe they don't have to because we have this emergency proclamation, and is I don't know the law when it comes to these things, but is it possible that because we declared it an emergency that they now don't have to abide by the rules? That they can do anything they want? That our proclamation suspends their regulatory powers, you know, whatever they normally have to do, or their environmental laws? Just because we declared an emergency, can they now not follow their own regs? Because we always have this belief that somehow the feds will, you know, follow their regulations. But maybe this proclamation took care of that, and they don't have to, since it's an emergency.
Well, you know, going back to one of the comments I made about the character of the Army Corps of Engineers, time and time again, they will lie and withhold documents and put you through hell to get a simple document on FUDs or FUDs, or formerly used defense sites. I've dealt with them on Bellows and many other places. And you're talking about foot dragging and conniving. On this occasion, because I want to give them fair and be respectful of them, I contacted them regarding this announcement that they sent out about their meeting on Maui. And I asked for more detail and more information. We'll send you that information in an email. To date, I've received nothing. Yet, you see, so when you ask, they'll lie to you and tell you we'll send it, and then you wait. So maybe it's just who I am, or, I mean, part of the plan is to keep the public away. So that would be the bigger problem. But anyway.
You know, historic preservation, protection of caves. I mean, what is it that they know that we do not know? I mean, they can take any heihau, they can any cultural sensitive site, and do anything to it that they want. You know, you might be better off just encasing that one bit of ammunition in concrete and not disturb the site. But right now, there's absolutely no input.
Well, I'm
And you know, you can expect a yellow tape around the site that you don't get to go there because it's dangerous.
Right. And a lot of this is basaltic and lava, what have you. And so it's really, it's fragile anyway. So imagine setting off charges. And in a lava tube, for example, not to mention the environmental concerns, but some burials or some historical significance to caves, right?
Yeah.
So there's a 100-pound bomb, and you say, well, wrap it up with charges and blow it in place. Well, you boom. Now you've collapsed the cave. You've diminished that. What if it's situated near a historical or cultural site? Blow it in place, Daniel.
Doesn't mean anything.
So why would the governor even go there? And the Department of Hawaiian Homeland, does this apply to that? Is he revoking? I noticed he didn't mention it was going to suspend the laws there because OHA is a state agency, right, and having to do with state law and its relationship with submerged lands and ceded lands and what have you. He didn't exempt himself from that. He exempted himself from the aquatic resources and the fish and zoning, but he wasn't specific.
No, people need to be concerned. When it comes to this proclamation, and him suspending all laws regarding the public access, state parks, aquatic resources. I mean, it's like a carte blanche. Somebody can do whatever they want to do. And we're just hoping that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers does the right thing, even though we don't know. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know, we're not being told, we don't even have time to research this, mm-hmm. right? If the proclamation, for instance, allows the feds not to do away with their set of rules.
Right. So it's something. It's frightening and nightmarishly so. And I don't know what we'll do, but we'll keep looking, folks. And if you are interested, go to carol@carolcox.com. I wished I had more to offer you on the subject, but again, we're playing always as usual, playing catch up. But I'm not complaining. I like to play catch up because that's when you catch them with the heinies out and the back door open. So. It's okay. We're not going to complain about it, but we will be vigilant, and some of the things that I've offered here may not be factual in the sense and mere speculations, but again, when my government hides from me and then I discover it by someone being alarmed when they should have informed the general public about this and, you know, to avoid concerns. So I take the liberty of saying and doing whatever is necessary that's legal. So anyway, thank you, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
Any summary or anything?
No. I mean, the proclamation is disturbing. I mean, if there's an emergency, you need to tell the people about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Public Land Development Corporation at Senate Bill 1555 raises serious concerns for me when it comes to the environment because it seems that the board might just decide, look, the best public use of this land is for us to build homes on it mm-hmm. or to put a landfill on it. Mm-hmm. But they're completely without oversight. All statutes, all rules do not pertain to them. And that's scary. Mm-hmm. We're creating an agency with no oversight.
Wow.
That's not subject to the rest of the state laws. At least looking at the bill, it gives me that impression.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think other people should be concerned. Everybody should be concerned.
Yeah. I'm going to share this with other news sources and see if they're interested, and I'm sure that the governor has prepared a response, anticipating when the cat's out of the bag.
Well, I'm just waiting for this one new corporation to show up, because this Senate bill doesn't say that it has to even go out for bid or anything.
Right.
They can just work with a single partner, with one entity, mm-hmm. to do everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever this conglomerate is that from now on will take care of all our public lands and enhance revenue, meaning there comes the toll booth. there is your fee. There is your parking meter.
And the sad part about it, whoever gives the largest gift or the most expensive gift, because they can accept gifts.
Any gift in any form from any source.
Yeah. So what does that tell you? The state is up for a giveaway.
That's right. You don't have to pay for it. You just generate revenue for someone. You don't have to pay for the land. Mm-hmm. You can just use the land under an agreement, produce revenue.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I should try and get on that board. I need a new iPad. Maybe you think I could.
No, I mean, unless the Speaker appoints you, I don't think William Ely will appoint you. Otherwise, it has to be Department of Finance or Department of Economics.
Well, maybe I should approach Ely and ask him to appoint.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, right.
Well, he's going to be on Maui on, Thursday?
Yeah, well, you know, this will tell us everything about all of those that went aboard and a part of the team. You're either a team player or you're not.
I'm not, you know, I mean, even the Land Use Commission doesn't have a say in this anymore.
You were sharing with me the other day, and I was thinking, I read this document. I didn't see the mention of land use, but then I thought, wait, he already exempted for the zoning, so why?
Yeah.
Why would he need the Land Use Commission?
He doesn't.
You see?
He doesn't need county permits either.
Yeah, so because he has control of the counties now, and they.
That's Section 19. I hope people will read it, but it does exempt them from all statutes.
Yeah. I'm laughing because it's a nervous laugh in that what went on behind closed doors, and now it was only forced out. And I don't know all the details, but it was someone threatened to sue or take legal action to force this governor to publish it.
Well, I hope someone will, because to be exempt from all land use, zoning, and construction standards for subdivisions.
Call a comment, a question, please.
Hey there, Carol. Hi, this is Melody calling.
Yes, hi, how
you
are
know,
you?
With all of these procedural, I guess, I don't know how to say it, ignoring what needs to be done for the environment and laws and being able to just come in and do this. Aside from that, I want to try to put this executive proclamation to a test, because we do have an emergency. Just as your last discussion last week regarding the radiation released by that helicopter that crashed in Kaneohe Bay, let's see how swiftly they can work towards doing the investigation, doing the remediation, doing the cleanup, and making assurances that the public is safe mm-hmm. from that IBIS indicator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
I think you're right on the money, and while I have you here, I didn't know you would call in, but thank you. If you could, I was going to be sharing a bit about that helicopter crash and the things we're finding after the fact. First of all, it was never a legitimate testing to see if radiation was out there. The guys didn't have the proper equipment. It couldn't get wet. They were 5 months late, and they didn't even know where the crash site was. So throw that out of the window, and the declaration that none was detected or low levels, they detected nothing because they didn't have the proper equipment. But you share with me, and thank you again, you sent me a picture where there is a raft that was parked and tied near the crash site, tied to the helicopter, that they were storing the radiated materials in, a large orange life raft. You sent me a picture of this life raft floating in the back of your property. Is that correct?
Oh, I sure did. I watched it. I watched it as it's being towed from, I guess, Kahalu area, clear across my kitchen window and saying, wow, what is going on? And then I saw it parked not far from my home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a concern because we're always at the sandbar several times a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids, they go tubing and scurfing at least three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea as to what kind of radioactive effect that has on their health, mm-hmm. on our health, environment. I mean, this is crazy. And now we do have this executive proclamation that can hopefully, according to what I'm reading here, will actually respond to this disaster. Well, let's see if it'll work. Let's see if this is what, you know, what the funding is for, $100 million. Let's see if they can really protect the public in this situation.
Right. And so the public will know. I chased this raft down. And how many days did that raft sit on the loose, just floating and drifting there?
At least 5 days, mm-hmm. if not longer.
Now,
yeah.
I contacted the military and asked them about it. I spoke to the person who towed the raft in that found it floating, and he does not wish to talk, but he exposes members of community to this potential hazard. But the military said, well, it's not the raft, as I suggested, had the contaminant. So there's one or two things could be said about this. Either that is the same raft, or there's a ship or a vessel that sank that
yeah.
someone needed to use a raft, and they should be doing a search and rescue. But they didn't say they would do it. They just dismissed me to say, well, that raft is not the raft. So do you suppose they deployed two rafts and then allowed one that's military property and let that raft float and drift for 3 or 5 days without taking possession?
Did they ever go and ask the fisherman who got himself the raft if he was contaminated? Did they ever check him?
No.
Carol, as far as I'm aware, we can see the crash site from our house, and
mm-hmm.
we've never seen any more than one raft.
Right.
So yeah, that doesn't seem like a plausible story that they're mm-hmm. telling us.
Right. So anyway, I thank you, and we're going to keep pursuing this, and I'm going to let them continue to misinform us, and on that note, I'm going to share with the public. And thank you again, Melody. I think this call, you'll have glowing reviews.
Okay. I hope so. We've got to get this straightened out. I mean, I'm afraid for our children. I'm afraid for our environment.
I'm making fun of it, but yeah, we should be worried because I've gotten more information that one of the doctors at the radiological department at Pearl Harbor, who's doing the testing of these men that were contaminated, that they lied to the city fire department that were no contamination, that there is actually one of those units unaccounted for. That's out there drifting about. So they've been lying. This is something, and we'll see. I'll file a FOIA, but I'm not letting it go. But anyway, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Call on me, all right?
All righty.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Didn't you, Carol, tell me that they took concrete, wherever the parts were stored, that whole concrete pad, mm-hmm. they dismantled it and disposed of it as if it was hazardous?
It was radioactive, and it was a raft that was used, the same raft that was used, tied up out there, and they placed the contaminated materials in there, towed it back to the water ops area,
right.
and set it on the concrete or cement or asphalt. And they had to dig up 65 feet of asphalt because it leaked from the raft and contaminated that. But now they told, and I asked the city and county of Honolulu on the September 2nd, they wrote me a letter, and I asked questions. And what I asked them, and this is real quickly, in early April, Marine Corps Base, Hawaii personnel contacted the Honolulu Fire Department to discuss the presence of radioactive material on board the helicopter when it crashed. Well, first of all, that was the first declaration. See, they were lying originally, saying there was no. But they told the fire department, oh, by the way, your people went aboard, and there was a concern for radiation. And it goes on to say, discussed the presence of radioactive material on board the helicopter when it crashed. That's the Marines. And then at a meeting, April 25th, 2011, Marine personnel informed the affected HFD, Honolulu Fire Department personnel, that the radioactive material used on the aircraft rotors remain intact after the crash. Now, how is it that they can lie to the city and county and tell that, and when they've told and collected this stuff, put it in a raft, taken it to the base, and it contaminates, seeps through.
Yeah.
Right?
So they had to remove material, earth, asphalt, whatever, and had to properly dispose of it. Did they go to the house where the fisherman is and see how much when it drifted loose when it was over there?
No, he had it tied up for a couple of days, and right now he's moot. He doesn't want to say anything. So,
folks, he should go and get himself checked out.
Yeah, well, you know, I've made several attempts, and other community members, and there's going to be a meeting at Kahului at the Key Project on the 14th. There's a neighborhood board, so if you have interest in that subject. But again, here's the finishing of this letter. As such, the HFD personnel were not exposed to radiation during rescue operations. You see, let me tell you.
How can you be standing there at a rescue operation?
Right.
When later on the debris contaminates an area? I mean,
and
how
then,
can you not?
And the Marines lying. This is why I'm going to stay on this one. Whatever the half-life of radiation, I'm going to have the equivalent effort in this. My half-life on this is forever, because this is the biggest lie being perpetrated on the public, and it was an accident. You know, the people lost their lives. This isn't about us and them. This is about cleaning and addressing something that potentially is a problem. But I'll just show you
why we have a proclamation.
Yeah. Oh, it's just to exempt everything.
Yeah.
But again, they tell us, and while telling the city fire department that there was no contamination, I have letters, and you can go to carolcox.com and see them, where they're talking about the while I cannot report, this is from the Marines, report on individuals' private medical care, all personnel involved in the recovery exposed were contaminated. It would be very minimal. So they're acknowledging that it was contamination.
I find it very irresponsible not to tell your fellow firefighters or rescue workers that there's a problem.
Yeah, caller, comment or question, please.
Yeah, Carol, whatever happened to that contaminated asphalt and concrete? Where did they throw it?
Well, they're not talking.
They're not throwing it? You think it's on the base, someplace in the landfill?
Who knows? The way they've been, as reckless as they've been in covering up, who knows? Maybe we'll find some guy standing along this burnt to crisp, and then we'll find out what they did and how they handled it. But we don't know.
And is conservation land exempt from being condemned?
No. That exemption, conservation land, and everything was there, involved in that.
Conservation district is exempt under the proclamation.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you want to make a subdivision conservation the problem.
Yeah. Environmental state, everything. So you can read that, as I say, carolcox.com.
Right.
Okay, well.
Thanks a lot, Carol.
Thank you. Now, so that's the story on the radiation. They're not telling the story. And so we hope to keep finding out what is wrong, what lies are being told. But to allow your fellow
rescue workers to be exposed
and then lie to them,
yeah,
and tell them. And then one thing, though, you know, I think the fire department, by learning this in the 25th of April, had an obligation, I believe, to have informed or made a public statement that they had knowledge that radiation was aboard. But instead, they too went silent. So yeah. There are a number of people there that were exposed. I know firsthand. I've spoken with them, and they have shared with me their findings in the testing.
You know, what I find interesting is every time you read about it in a paper or somewhere in the news, it was of a level that was not reportable. Mm-hmm. It was not necessary to report. Ah, go get a dentist x-ray. it's worse than this.
Right.
But why do you have to dig up the ground?
Right.
I never, you know, when I'm leaving my doctor's office, they don't dig up the building after I'm getting an x-ray.
Right.
So that got to be a lie, too.
And it's a lie. And then if you, you got to dig it up, guess what happens? That suggests either they handled it wrong when it was intact, at the crash site, I'm going to give them that it was intact at the crash site.
Okay.
And then they transported it while it was still not spewing contamination, but they were so reckless and unprofessional. And then there's the person now, this is no joke, folks. Bo Irvine, the comedian in town here, is the head of the safety department over there, base safety system, who is responsible. I can't get Bo Irvine to respond to me in phone calls. So remember that name. If you get a chance to see him at his presentations as a comedian down in Waikiki, just ask him. Just tell him this is no joke and nothing funny about it. Ask him, what was the actual readings and how many people did you document? But this is the kind of treatment that we're receiving from the Marines and all about that whole incident. But we're not letting go. You know, it's just for all parties. And in closing, and I thank all of you, and Mike, thank you for coming. I'm going to be talking next week about the schools. You know how we send our soldiers off to war, and we're now 911. We got them over there. And so, do you know that the Department of Defense have determined that the schools on the military bases, military schools, operated and supported by the state, falls below the category? They're failing in poor conditions. They're overrun, over capacity.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a shame. The governor is asking, for example, now there's a program that the state participates in, and he in turn asking to have the fees from the Joint Venture Education Forum $28,000 membership for the state. He's poor mouthing the government to ask for a waiver of the fees, have them to pay. Folks, we're cheating the military people, the personnel, by failing to educate and provide them. And the government, the state government is getting money. They're just spending it wrong and don't want to be accounting for it. So we're going to talk this next week, and hopefully if you have any information and want to share, but we have lots. So I'll talk to you later, and thank you for joining me.